They're getting him.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Happy fr- what the fudge? What just happened there? You see, you know, this is my first time anchoring the show, and what does Elvin do? Elvin has to cut half of my face off. Anyway, welcome everyone. Happy Friday night. Thank you for joining us today. As you can see, it's just Matt and myself. Matt must be a familiar face to some people. Matt is one of the co-hosts of On the Fringe on Wednesday night. Is that right, Matt?
Yep, that's Wednesday night, except the last Wednesday because we took a break.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. Now, thank you so much for coming in and hosting this,
this
session with me. Eugene and Sonia are off, still on a break, handling their own kind of personal matters. Kim abandoned me tonight. So did Elvin. But I can't say too much about Elvin because Elvin's behind the scenes and he's running all the software stuff. So thank you so much again, Elvin. yeah, guys, thanks for kind of joining us. Matt, you look like you are in like a different time zone right now.
Yeah, right now it's actually 12 hours behind. I'm actually 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. in the U.S. I think those that are on the fringe know that watch the show that I've been away for the past 2 weeks, I think. Mm. Yeah, 2 weeks, and then I'm coming back next week. So this will be the last week I'm on break, which is kind of sad. Wow. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's like holidays, right? The first few days seem to go on forever, and then you hit the halfway mark and bang.
Dude, I have like, I think I'm leaving the U.S. on Sunday on my flight. So I'm just thinking like, oh my God, I have so much time. Then wait a minute. No, I don't. It's like two more days.
Well, yeah. It's one, two. Yeah, not long at all. How was the break, dude, though? How's it been?
Man, it's pretty good. I mean, I haven't had a break since the start of COVID. The last time I left Singapore was 2020, I think. Oh, and then there was the whole pandemic. Couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. And then this trip was good. I mean, we came. This is actually me and my wife's honeymoon and anniversary and birthday celebration all rolled into one.
Oh, hell. Congratulations. Happy times.
Yeah, happy times. Happy times. How have you been? I mean, I know in Australia now it's winter.
Yeah, as we were having a chat before, it's a little bit cold, but not too much, like 14 degrees at this point in time. It doesn't seem to have the wonderful, beautiful sunshine that you seem to be showing us. Last few days, not a few days, but a couple of days this week is down to like eight degrees.
Day.
So it was cold. Yeah,
I mean, let me see.
It's double socks day.
Let me show you. This is the weather. This is the weather. Clear skies, kind of hot.
I just want to say, Matt, I just don't care. and stop looking so relaxed. You know what I mean?
Singaporeans, dude, we're all so high strung. You know, we all got to go take a break. We got to go on a holiday sometime.
Yeah,
you know,
self-care is such an important thing, right? With everything, it's something that we need to promote more, looking after yourself and having time out. But, you know, we're here tonight to tell ghost stories, to kind of have a bit of a banter, to have a chat with the fans. And, you know, I'm kind of really excited. You know, this is probably the first time that we've spoken, right? I know we've chatted online together, but not really in person like this.
I don't actually, you know, I'm not too sure. I don't think we've actually had a conversation with each other before.
Yeah. This is the first time. However, I know that you cannot really access a lot of the comments on Facebook and YouTube, but I've been looking through and we have the same fans who are here tonight, you know. Saravanan, we have Mark Abel, Troy Lane, Gil Chong, Han Jay, KK Heng, Mark Shipo. Man, I could go all the way up. I think there are one or two new people here. So if you're new and the first time joining us, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your Friday with us. This is a show where we tell ghost stories. We talk shit. We tell dirty jokes. Well, Kim tells dirty jokes. We tell intelligent jokes. You know what I mean? Like, you know, dirty jokes is a Kim thing. And we've got a nice show planned tonight. So really looking forward to it. If we head over to Facebook, Maitreya Om, we have Ivan Go. Hey, hey, hey. Alsatian Adrian Chua. Yes, Alsatian Adrian Chua. Three people missing in action. if I didn't have a abandonment complex, I have one now. There's no one here except Alvin and Matt, but they're good. They're very, very good substitutes anyway. So yeah, definitely. I'm just wondering, man, like you're in the US, like you say, South Carolina?
Yep, that's right.
South Carolina. What's the goal with the ghost stories in South Carolina? Is it a place that's known for ghost stories in the States?
I think if you look back at the history of South Carolina, it was a Republican Confederate state quite a while ago. So if you go up north to, I think it's Fayetteville or just most of the places, you actually hear stories of Confederate soldiers being seen walking around. I think recently I actually came across a video like that, but I couldn't share it. But it's basically this. Yeah, I think it came out pretty big. It's basically this guy who was driving, has a dash cam. And what happened is he was driving through in the day, and then suddenly he saw like this, like a shadow, like a white figure just pass his car right in front of him. And I saw it too. I was like, oh, damn. That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Like it's a white shadow.
Yeah. Like a white figure. Yeah. And it's all on camera. You can actually see it.
Okay. And it's in South Carolina.
I don't think it's South Carolina specifically, but there are a lot of stories of Confederate ghosts, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I mean, I think for those that were on the fringe, they know that I was in Florida, I think, last week. And I said I was going to go look for people who know about the Skunk Ape.
Yes.
Turns out I went on an airboat to speak to someone who lived on the Everglades his whole life. Apparently, he had no idea. He has never seen a skunk ape before. He's heard the rumors, but he's never seen it.
Ah, okay. So he's actually heard of the stories, but never seen the skunk ape. And for those who perhaps have not gone, you know, and not listened to your show, could you go into a little bit of a thing on what the skunk ape is?
The skunk ape is kind of like the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, cousin of the Yeti. It's basically this ape-like creature which lives in the Everglades and the mangrove forests is there. So it's called the skunk ape because it smells like, apparently it smells really bad. And, you know, it smells like a skunk. And it's just this big, hairy, humanoid-looking ape thing.
Yeah.
And it's all around. You hear so many stories. People say it has, like, certain powers. It has abilities, strength. But, I mean, the guys I spoke to, they've never seen one before.
A little bit like the Bukit Timah Monkey Man that you guys covered in one of the first few episodes, right?
Yep, similar to that. Exactly like that.
Yeah. So you have for those who are new to Supernatural, you know, the whole ASCII kind of Supernatural Confessions family, right? We have a number of shows, obviously. Friday Night Live, if you're here, you found us. This is one of the shows. We also have a show on, I think, a Tuesday night, which is Ghost Mortem. Yep. And it's with Eugene and Jonathan Lim, where they take apart, like, you know, recent kind of horror movies. They do a little bit of like a review and a bit of an analysis of that. And then on Wednesday night, it's your man Matt here together with Bill. Yeah, who hosts On the Fringe, which is a show that, you know, not necessarily hunter related, but things right on the fringe, right? Like, UFOs and cryptids and the like.
Yeah, I mean, the show, we have a lot of directions that we can go. Like, we can talk about cults, we can talk about the Illuminati, all kinds of stuff. It's just stuff that's not necessarily like ghosts and spirits. Though, like, I think in the last episode we had that kind of blurred the lines a bit.
Yeah. I think the last couple of episodes, really. The one that I was doing with Bill, when we spoke about the black-eyed kids, right? The black-eyed children was on that kind of, well, on the fringe. Really, really on the
Exactly,
fringe,
there on
right?
the fringe. I mean, the last episode we did last week was on Skinwalkers, and that turned out to be a little bit harder to keep it within one realm.
Very much so. And we're not only here kind of running shows. Jonathan Lim and Eugene Tay, obviously Eugene Tay is the founder of Supernatural Confessions, together with Jonathan Lim, they're hosting a ghost walk, like a walk with Hantu in Changi, right? And I was speaking to Eugene before, and he was saying, like, both him and Jonathan, they have a little bit of this performing arts background, and they both love storytelling and they love ghost stories, right? So I think the whole idea was like they wanted to, oh my God, am I like Bill tonight? Have I
You are
said
Bill
like, have I
tonight.
said, I just found myself just saying like a lot of like, okay, there you go again. I just
Oh,
said
there
like,
you
okay, I'm not drinking because I
Oh
just had hot pot. And if I drink, I'm gonna have to need to have a shit halfway through this session. So I'm not going to drink. I will try not to
You're
say like.
maybe it's an Australian thing, or whoever comes on the show with me is suddenly is cursed by the likes.
I think so. It's the light curse, the light curse. But anyway, they've put together this Hantu walk, which is part, I understand, like a ghost tour of Changi, part storytelling, and also part true ghost stories. So if you're interested, if anyone listening to this is interested, go onto our Supernatural Confessions page, and there's a little bit of a blurb there. I understand it's going to be running the 18th, 20th, and the 25th of this month from 7:30 p.m. to about 10 p.m. I'm a little bit jealous because I'd love to attend this myself, but that would take a plane. That would take me, I would need to take a plane down, and I can't. Just for this, it's not something I can do. So yeah, is anyone
At
interested?
some point you gotta bring yourself to Singapore. At some point.
I have a feeling that by the time this year is up, I'll be down in Singapore in one way or the other.
Oh, there you go.
So making plans. I'm coming down the Johor Bahru, not Johor actually, KL next year. But
Okay.
this year, I'll be down in Singapore. So kind of watch the space. Kind of watch the
Watch out,
space.
guys. Maybe you guys get what you want, like a big meeting. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. And you get to see me cozy up with Kim, who's not here.
Are you sad, Joe?
I'm a little bit, as I said, I feel a little bit abandoned. Like, everyone leaves me as a story of my life. No, this is not a therapy session. We're here to tell ghost stories, right? So I reckon we need to get our we need to get our kind of head stuck into this right straight away.
Let's go.
So you know what? I'm wondering if just to kind of get the juices rolling, I'll keep my segment a little bit later. Elvin has got a small video for us, and it is a video about dolls. If you can hear me, Elvin, could you please play that video?
My creepy dolls collection in Singapore.
Meet Betsy, made in the 1930s. Originated from an abandoned daycare in Florida. Sometimes she moves her head. Meet Lily, made in the 1960s. She loves music. Sometimes she vibes along. Meet Mooney. Meet Sam. I wonder if the noises seen hearing at night comes from her. I always make sure that they are locked up safely.
I just gotta say, I've actually seen this video. The two things I hate are actually clowns and dolls. These two things, I will never go into a
That
house
has
that
it.
has like either one. If it's a clown doll, that's even worse.
I was just gonna say, like, there is such a thing called clown dolls. You're fucked.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I'd be so dead. But I mean, I saw that video before, and there was actually, I think it was the second doll. I think her name was Lily. Did you notice that her hand actually moved?
No.
Yeah, her hand actually moved when he was playing the musical instrument.
Hold up.
Elvis, my creepy dolls collection in Singapore.
Wait.
8-bits made in the 1930s. Originated from an abandoned daycare in Florida. Sometimes she moves her head. Meet Lily, made in the 1960s. She loves music. Sometimes she vibes along. Meet Mooney.
Did you not see that?
No. Oh, shit. Yes. Holy moly.
Yeah, I got this.
I don't like that at all.
Meet Mooney.
No, I don't want to meet I don't want to meet whoever it is. No, thank
like the
you.
First time I saw that, I was just thinking, like, how are more people not seeing her hand move? What the hell?
Yeah, that's you got very good eyes there, Matt. I'm not trying to come on to you. I'm just saying that you've got good looking eyes. I don't say you've got good eyes, Matt.
I know. I mean, but yeah, when I first saw that video, I was just thinking, like, okay, that's a bit weird. Like, it's so on the point that it, I don't know if it's real. Like, is it so coincidental? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's so coincidental that just when he plays that it moves. So I was just a bit like, like my inner skeptic was like, really, really though?
Yeah, it's, you know, coincidences are a difficult thing, I think, in paranormal investigation. There's actually been a lot of research done into the nature of coincidences, and basically whether we can derive meaning from coincidences.
Yeah.
Right? Because, yeah, you're very right. Like, you know, perhaps it, like I can see on the I can see on the page that people are talking about, you know, someone goes, it must be string. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
someone talks about the wind, and you know what, you know, those things can move over a period of time, right? It could be that just at that point in time, as the music was playing, we just saw natural movement and we're ascribing paranormal means to it. But I tell you what, that's screwed up though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard of people keeping dolls like this. Just, I don't know why they do it, but
yeah.
I mean, especially since you got to lock them up at night, you know, like, clearly you're afraid of something. So I don't know why people do that, like, keep all these kind of occult things.
Oh, man, I agree. I do not like any form of dolls whatsoever. I'm not afraid of them. I used to be terrified of dolls, you know, like, especially, like, the childlike little kind of dolls with the frilly dresses. I used to hate those things. But I've just become an older, jaded man where, you know, my care factor is no longer there. You know, if a doll were to do that, I just flick the doll away. Like, I've just become that person. But I don't know, man. Have you watched the work by Josh Gates?
Yeah.
From Destination, or what the older show was, Destination Truth, right?
Yeah.
And he went to what is called the Island of the Dolls. I think it was in the South.
Oh, America, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's in Mexico.
Is it in Mexico? Yeah, that sounds just about right. That sounds just about right. And in one of the cases where he was, I think, talking to the dolls, and he was saying, right, just jokingly, if this doll moves, I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to shit myself. And at that moment, the doll blinked.
Shit.
Like, so it wasn't like a static eye. That doll was made to actually blink, right? So I think if you know, one of those dolls, and you move it backwards, the eye closes. When you make fun, the eyes open. Yep. But this was just stationary on a piece of string, and the freaking thing blinked. Now, I'm not scared of dolls, dude, but if that happened to me, a little bit of wee will come out.
I mean, I think that, and that's what you mentioned with, like, coincidences, especially when you ask for, like, a sign, right? and then something actually gives you that sign. I think the problem with taking me for a ghost investigation, I would ask for a sign and be like, oh, yeah, it was just a coincidence, you know, I don't know. Probably wasn't a ghost. You wouldn't know. So, I mean, especially like in these instances with big dolls, right? Yeah, I think I might pee myself a little too, man. Like, that's freaky shit. Like, yeah. I'm not going to deal with that.
And whoever made that video, man, I think you're just asking for trouble. You know, you're talking about this doll been made in 1920s and one of the dolls is just doing fucked up shit like this. And one of the dolls' hand moves. And you can see as he closes the door, he puts like a, you know, someone was saying like an amulet on the...
Yeah, it looks like an amulet.
Yeah, it looks like a Thai amulet. Someone was saying that on the comment section. KK Hang goes, is that a Thai amulet hanging in the cabinet? Like, yeah, it looks like an amulet. If you have to do that kind of shit, right, you're just asking for trouble.
And that's exactly what I mean. That's too much. Like, why would, if you already keep all these kind of haunted stuff or like occult stuff, and then you still got to protect yourself from it, bro, you're asking for so much trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, speaking about dolls, when the team and I were in Bali just very recently, we went to the house of a traditional Balinese shaman, and his living room was like a antique collector's like shop front,
right?
But for haunted spiritual objects. So think the Warren's Occult Museum, but Asian. And probably more fucked up things in there.
Dude, you know, actually, because I drove down from the Northeast in Maine in the U.S. I drove down from there to South Carolina. And there was a point in time that I actually thought, maybe I should pull over, like, off the side of the highway to actually go see the Warrens. The Warrens Cult Museum. But I realized they don't just let you, like, walk in. And that would have been too much trouble, man. But I thought it would be a great idea.
Don't they have tours there?
No. You have to, like, I think they only open the museum now to very specific people. Like, you can't just walk in, like, as a public member of the public.
Right. So it has to be, you have to have some kind of, like, connection to the paranormal kind of, like, world for you to have access to that.
Yeah. But also, I mean, in that moment when I was thinking about it, I was just thinking, do I really want to bring a demon with me for the rest of my holiday?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's scary.
Nah. That's like all the scariest demons you can think of in that one shop, in that one like room. So I was thinking, you know, I'm driving a little more. I don't want to die. So yeah, maybe we'll just get that this time. Maybe when I'm not driving.
Yeah. You know, I've visually seen what, like, you know, two videos of visually seen. Well, of course, if you're seeing it, it's visual. But I've seen videos, right? So I've not been there, of what his museum looks like. It kind of looks creepy-ish, but man, this shaman's living room.
I'd
sleep in the Warrens' room, no problems.
Oh shit!
I wouldn't sleep in this place.
This gotta be creepy, there. Man.
Yeah, there were objects there that really had a very old, and I would even say one or two of them had a really evil vibe to it. There were things attached to it. And when we asked him, he says, there was. I just know how to keep them at bay.
Oh damn!
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. I think for those that don't know, you guys know that I have the sort of the ability to see spirits, right? I mean, it's not all the time, but I do. So I think recently, because my aunt, I'm staying with my aunt now, and she knows. She, every time she asks me, like, "Oh, have you seen anything here? Have you seen anything here?" Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, dude, even if I did, American and Western ghosts have nothing on Asian ghosts. Asian ghosts are so much scarier. Like you just think of, let's say, the Pontianak or any other supernatural being. Dude, there's so much vengeance in all of them. I don't care about white people ghosts, man. If I see a Confederate ghost, I'm like, yeah, chill, that's cool, continue walking. If I see an Asian ghost, if I see a Pontiana, I'm like, nope, that way, I'm going home, I can't do this.
You know what? This is something that I was thinking on the way home, because after dinner, right, I was thinking about you know, Asian ghosts versus like, you know, Western ghosts, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I used to think the same way like you did, Matt, but I've kind of revised my opinion on this.
Right.
I don't know. Like, okay, so when you talk about like the white lady carrying a candle and she walks through the door, or a Confederate ghost holding a gun, when I think of stuff like that, I go, yeah. And I'm like, probably wouldn't scare me, right? Pontiana sitting on top of the tree. Nope, don't want that.
Yeah.
That part I agree. But you know, the United States, right? The continent, right? And even Australia as a continent, they're much older than Western colonization.
Yeah.
If you look a little bit deeper, a little bit underneath the cover, right, you actually find the place can be as terrifying or more terrifying than Asia. You know, when you look at things like Native American ghost stories, you know, when you look at the ghost stories associated with places like Mexico and even Western Australia, when you speak to the Aboriginal people, there's some pretty terrifying stuff that happens here, man. In fact, I don't know if you guys have seen the interview that I did with Pak Daud, the Malay man who talked about his experiences in Christmas Island. Now, I've yet to do the second interview, and I'm going to be doing that soon, where he's going to start telling stories about his time in Western Australia, living in WA, and his like encounters with the ghosts. And he told me this, right? So this is a Malay man who's been to Singapore, who's been to Malaysia, who lived in Christmas Island most of his life, who currently lives in Western Australia, is a spiritual practitioner, a very devout Muslim man. When I say spiritual practitioner, I don't mean he's a Bomo. No, he I think bases his spiritual understanding on the Quran. He said this to me. He says, you know what? I've been to Malaysia. I've been to Singapore. I've been to Christmas Island. And Christmas Island, he says, there's a ghost and there are spirits and jinns around every corner. It's a very dirty place. He told me Western Australia is worse than all these countries.
Yeah.
You know, and through SC the channel and speaking with a lot of people in Western Australia, I'm beginning to agree with him, because don't forget, places like WA, especially in the north side of Western Australia, they're port cities as well, and it's a huge melting pot of cultures. So we have people here from Singapore, Malaysia, the Middle East. We have people here from very, very old countries. And when people come over, they bring their spirituality with them. They bring their gods. They bring their demons. They bring their spirits. They bring their spiritual practices here. And I've heard stories of Bomos practicing black magic in Western Australia, where they do competition, where they send things to one another, and they do like spiritual kind of warfare. Like, it is nuts. It's all happening in Western Australia. So, man, I don't know.
I mean, I think I agree with you. I think some places just have this energy, especially the older places, right? And, you know, I think to some degree, every place is kind of haunted. It's just what kind of energy you get. Like, is it elementals? Is it some kind of nature, spirit, or energy? But yeah, I think, you know, I agree with you that some places just have that vibe, and it's kind of, you can't take that away from that place.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think, like, you know, on the surface, every country has got, hey, there's fun ghosts. We dig a little bit deeper, there's a darker undercurrent, man, So I'm writing a book on West Australian ghost stories, and I hope to incorporate some of this. And I'll be doing a few interviews for the SE channel. So people actually just, you know, stay tuned. We'll have more stories for you. But before going on, Matt, it's what time is it? 10 o'clock in the morning?
Now it's 10:30.
You know what?
What?
If I was there with you, I'd be a bit thirsty. I'd be a little bit thirsty. I feel like I need like a cup of coffee.
Time for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, definitely. A cup of Joe, as the American calls it. So if the SE family want to support us, please go to, you know, buymeacoffee.com/SE Friday Live and buy us a couple of coffees, please. We would really appreciate any kind of like financial support that you give us, so we can continue running the show. And even if you don't you know, provide any kind of financial support. The fact that you're here listening to us, listening mm-hmm. to two of us banter, listening to us talking about ghost stories and telling ghost stories, that's enough support. So we want to say a big thank you to all the SC fans, man. You guys fucking rock. And because they fucking rock, I've got a ghost story. No, not ghost story, Charlie. I have a dirty joke.
I have a dirty joke. You're Kim today.
I can't, because Kim has that ability, right? My jokes just come out dry and stupid, but I'm gonna try anyway. All right,
let's go.
You ready? You ready for this, Matt?
Let's go. Let's go.
All right, Matt. I'm gonna ask you a question.
Okay.
What goes in hard and dry and comes out soft and wet?
Oh shit.
No, what? Not that. Not that.
It can be so many things, my God. I give up. What's it? What is it?
Bubblegum.
Oh, God damn it.
You see, like, it was a reverse dirty joke. It started off dirty and it ended up clean. That's how I roll.
Oh, my God. Yes. But that was good, actually. I mean, you know, it's a bit different from what Kim would normally throw out.
Yeah. I'll give another dirty joke. I'll give a dirty joke. Okay. So, what has hair in the top, hair in the uh-huh. bottom, and in the middle, a wet slit? Ooh.
Tell me.
The eye. I did it again. I did the reversal of the dirty. Thank you very much, guys. I'm here every Friday. I just did a psychology reverse dirty joke. So thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That was not bad.
Yeah, you like that? Man.
Yeah, it was good.
I live for things like this. I mean, anyway.
It's the real dad jokes. It's the real dad jokes.
I know. I know we talked about, you know, doing a dad joke, but I just need to come into the the feeling of it. I need to come into
the emit Kim, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since he's definitely not here, you gotta do it for him.
I gotta do Kim, what do you say?
No, it's you gotta do it for him. PG version.
All right. Look, I think it's time that we listen to our first ghost story. And this is a story about knocking doors. So, Alvin, take it away.
All Doors by John. I'm going to describe this as best as I can, so you can imagine just how absolutely terrifying this was. Don't worry, I'll label stuff so you can skim through if you want to. The setting. This incident happened when I was about 12 to 15 years old. I don't exactly remember perfectly. I woke up and everyone was asleep, and my German Shepherd was by the foot of the bed asleep. My bedroom layout had two doors on either side. So on the left was a hallway that led to my sister's room and was open, while on the other, on the right, was a hallway that led to my dad's room and was closed. Both hallways led to the main living room. The living room had a sliding wooden door that led to the kitchen and the window wall, which viewed the porch in the backyard. That's the layout. The incident. Now I woke up because I heard a loud knock on my door. Nothing unusual, I thought, because my dad knocks loudly. The only thing lighting up my room was a blue digital clock, just enough light to see, not enough to read or write clearly. Then I heard another knock, and I say, "What?" loud enough to hear me through the door. Then a knock turned into a pound, so I ignored it, thinking it was my dad waiting for me to open the door. However, that's when I realized my dad was still asleep, snoring loudly in his room. Then, there was banging on the door, like hard double fist banging rapidly. Then I heard through that door, my dad's door banging, then my sister's, then the front door, then the sliding door to the kitchen, and pounding on the window wall all at the same time. I sat there petrified in fear at all the commotion. My dog was the only living being awake with me, and we both just sat there in my room listening to it all. It was even scaring my dog, who usually would bark or get up and check anything that could be a threat. This went on for about a whole minute, but right when the clock struck 4 a.m, it was dead silent again. Everyone, for for some reason, was still asleep except for my dog and I. Even thinking about it now chills my bones to the core, and I have no reason to explain how this could even happen. I want to disclaim something, that I was not in a sleep paralysis of any sorts, and I could still move, and I was sitting up, and just didn't want to move for obvious reasons. At the time, no one else came over except for my uncle or grandma, so the banging couldn't have been coming from them since they also rarely came over. Everyone in the house was somehow asleep during this, and even if they were awake pranking me or something, there wouldn't have been enough people to bang on as many doors or windows as they were. It was not an earthquake because nothing on my shelves moved, nor did my bed shake at all. Just an interesting story that felt needed to be shared finally after all this time.
Very, very nice. Okay, so the cliff notes for those of you who may have just joined us is that this is a story by John, and basically his experience knocking on the doors, first at his bedroom door, and then suddenly all the doors in his house, right? And it just kind of started at the one place, and the pounding became louder, and it just spread everywhere.
This something that happened to me. I think it was in one of the confessions I did, but basically it was very similar. I was awakened. This was in the morning. I was awakened by knocking on my door, and I thought it was my mom. And when I went to check with her, she's like, no, she's in the toilet. I was like, okay. And then later on, when I was trying to discuss it and like sort of CSI it with my mom, the same knocking happened again. Like, we were both there and sitting next to each other and just went knock, knock, knock. And we're like, what the hell?
Yeah, front door? No,
like my room door. Room to my door. Yeah. And it was just like, okay, what the hell was that? And it's funny because I think now, this story came in at a really weird time, because I think this happened to me. I think now is the Chinese 7 month soon. Mm-hmm. And that story happened to me during the start of the 7 month as well.
Oh, right. And this is a few years ago, last year?
I think it was maybe 2 years ago, yeah.
Right. Okay, and you know what I really liked about this story, and it almost felt like John listened to us, and he'd known what Sonia and myself were probably going to say about this. It was when I was wide awake, I could move, it was not sleep paralysis, right? I could hear it going. It wasn't a freaking earthquake. My family heard it as well. So I find it genuinely interesting story.
Yeah. What would you do if it happened to you?
You know what? The skeptic in me would see me get up and check the house.
Yeah.
I don't want to portray myself as this brave gung-ho guy that just kind of gets up. But I think even despite what this guy is saying, that there's potentially rational explanations for something that happens like that, right? If he's talking about doors that are knocking from one door to another door, and it travels around the house as he's telling it, okay, I'm a little bit stumped on that one. But if he had said that the door started rattling all at once and there was knocking sound, I could potentially say that's vibrations from outside, from a truck or something like that. Because I've had that in WA, right? When I'm lying down on a really lazy Sunday morning and there's a freaking truck outside, the windows physically rattle. Yep. They're physically rattled, you know? And if anyone has got air conditioning, you'd know that you turn that air conditioning on, doors start slamming by themselves. And if a door is already in its frame, the doors can actually move, and that movement can actually sound like knocking.
Yep.
You know, but the way that this guy's talking about is that the knocking in the doors are happening from one door to the next door to the next door. And you know what? I think a knocking sound sounds very different from rattling.
Yeah, and like I said, that's exactly why when it happened to me, I was thinking it's so specific that, you know, it's the sound of something knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And it happens in like an order, like three knocks or whatever, but you know what it is. It's not like the whole place is vibrating and like this constant vibration. Yeah.
For you,
It's
was it three
creepy. Yeah,
knocks?
it was.
You know what, the Warrens would say about that, right?
I know. I know
Yeah.
exactly what they would say about it. And that's why I spoke to my mom. I was like, bro, like, what the hell is that? That's why I got kind of annoyed. I was like, mom, you know, I'm sleeping. Like, why would you knock on my door like that? And then
Yeah.
she was like, I didn't do anything. I was in the toilet. And then when it happened to both of us outside, I remember right, like immediately after that, she was like, Matt, you need to go bless the house. Like, go around the house with frankincense and myrrh and bless the house, please.
Yeah. What do you think, is a knocking on a door, like, okay, let's just maybe step back from the skeptical point of view and we approach it from maybe, let's just say, this is just a spirit for, now I've taken a hop down into Eugene and Kim's kind of territory, right? It must be the hunter. A knocking on a door, what do you think that represents? Is that someone trying to get attention? Like,
You know, so did we have any idea of when it actually happened? Did they say like during which time of the year?
not much time of the year, I don't think. Look, but I have a sense that it was at night. Time of the year, not very sure at all.
I mean, like if you kind of draw a parallel to what happened to me, maybe it was the start of the 7 month, you know, maybe like the previous people were just coming to find like, yo, I'm here. Wake up, you know, give me something. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything. Like I think it's just very specific that, you know, it's going door to door to door, you know, and it's kind of strange that it had to go to all the doors before we. I mean, I don't know what happened after that. I didn't really mention what happened. If the ghost just disappeared, did the knocking stop?
Yeah,
Something like
I think I had the impression that the knocking did stop, but it just kind of it went around and then it kind of it just ceased. When I'm on YouTube, I'm saying here that someone is actually saying that the knocking sounds malevolent. Saravanan Dena Dayalan says, Chui Lane, it sounds malevolent. And Chaos Girl, I recall that three knocks is demonic, represents a mockery of the Holy Trinity. Only if the ghost is Catholic. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of it's someone goes, KK Hen goes, door knocking might be the work of a demon or a djinn. But I don't know. I think that's a bit of a leap to go from
Yeah.
a knock to this is the type of
Demon.
ghost it is. Demon. Satan's knocking on my door.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, it could be anything. I think it's I wouldn't honestly in this situation, I wouldn't classify it as a demon, you know what I mean? Like it could just be, I don't know, maybe it's a kid ghost. It just chilling around, just running around the house, or maybe I don't know, could be anything. Could be a
If
leprechaun
anything,
for all we know.
it might be an
Yeah.
Irish ghost,
Yeah.
an expat, Irish leprechaun has gone to Singapore to find work, and
Exactly.
the poor fucker just doesn't have enough work and is just going around knocking on doors, hoping to hand in his
Yeah.
resume to someone who would just give the goddamn leprechaun a chance,
Yeah,
people.
you know. He had to
Important.
he like the Lucky Charms guy, like he just stopped working, let's just stop selling, it was too expensive.
Yeah, employ a leprechaun. Hashtag employ a leprechaun 2022. On a serious note, the knocking actually sounds more like the start of what a lot of people in the paranormal community would call a poltergeist.
Yeah.
Poltergeists usually start off in homes through sounds like footsteps, knocking and rapping on walls, on doors, on windows. And a knocking on the door doesn't sound like particularly intelligent to me, unless there is, for example, if you say, if you are here, knock on the door four times and someone hears a knock, then you could say potentially, I'm not saying it is, but potentially there is two-way communication. But if it's just hearing knocking around the doors, potentially poltergeist.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if this confessor actually has any more stories about like what happened after. Because this is like just a, it's just one snapshot, right? Maybe he has more stories of, I don't know, things moving, things crashing.
I'm actually typing up here, and I'm gonna go and try to find a journal article. I think it was from the Journal of Parapsychology. So it's a peer reviewed, in as much as parapsychology is a peer reviewed science. That they talked about a hierarchy of haunting experiences that starts off like with knocks and stuff like that, and then increases in intensity. If I can find out, I will have a chat with it here. Okay, so basically, there are approximately 19 symptoms of the poltergeist, and here we go, beginning with raps and ending with equipment failure of cameras, tape recorders, and so forth. And I think in between, things like what we would call RSPK, recurrent psychokinesis, where things seem to be moving by itself. And more importantly, I remember this in a confession that we had several months back. I'm going to have a chat with Kim, but puddles of water that are seen in the home, you know? So, and what this article is, I think this article was created through a lot of meta-analysis. So in like statistics, it's about getting large amounts of kind of data from very disparate sources, classifying them, and then applying statistical formula to get some information from that. And so what they reckon is that there's that hierarchy. For example, is that you do not get puddles of water before you get stone throwing. And you don't get spontaneous fires happening before raps. So there seems to be this hierarchy of haunt experiences. I will try to do a small post for SC, and it'll be interesting to see in Singapore whether, when people report these activities, whether it actually happens in this sequential manner.
Yeah, I mean it'd be kind of funny if someone just went from I've never seen a ghost before, and next thing you know, they just see like full on haunting in their house. Like,
Yeah.
bro, I'm here, let's go down.
Very much so, very much so. Like you see, like they've never experienced something, and suddenly they see like this stranger in their home that just walks into the wall. Like what the, like what the hell? Where did that come from? Have you seen this really horrible TV show? I really shouldn't say horrible. Well, I didn't like it because it ended too quickly. Called Ghost Labs. I
Yeah,
think it was
I
Ghost
have.
Lab or
I
something.
have.
Yeah, it's an
Actually, no,
American
Ghost
one.
Labs is
It's
a. Is it
Ghost
the one
something.
where, yeah. Well, give me a gist of the show.
Okay, it's an American thing, and there was like I think like like an equipment failure in this lab in the United States. It's Ghost something, maybe not Ghost Labs.
Okay,
It
yeah.
was basically, and this African American lady is standing by the lift, and then she looks to the lady who's next to her and goes, "Hey, how you doing?" And she looks back, and this lady doesn't say anything, and she goes, "Oh, like really rude." Okay, and she goes, "Oh, I haven't seen you here before." And this woman's like again ignoring her. And then I think she recognizes that she may have seen, she goes, "Weren't you the lady that did XYZ and the thing didn't move?" And she goes like, "This is fucking rude." And
Yeah.
then this woman, I think, looks at her and just walks into the lift while the fucking door's closed. Like just like that. You know, everything about her suggests that she was corporeal, and then suddenly she's not. Now that, what would you, and you ask me, what would I do if the knocking's happened? What would you do if you're here having a chat with me and you think I'm a real person, and I just look at you, smile, and just walk through the window and just disappear?
Dude, I'm gonna be honest. I think I would just start laughing, like, "What the fuck is going
That's
on?" But
right,
I think
that's
it's
right.
like partially, it's like the nervous laugh, like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Yeah. And it's shocking, right? And you may not be fearful, like, "Oh my God, woo, I'm afraid of a ghost." But when you're confronted with something that breaks all the known laws of physics, it's going to make you a little bit kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it makes your brain just go like, "Wait, what?" Makes question your reality.
Definitely, definitely. I've never had knocking in my home in Western Australia, but I've had noises, but a lot of times I think it's just the home settling, and I I you know, I only spent up to about my 12th year in Singapore, so my memory is a bit hazy. But you live in Singapore, don't you, Matt?
Yeah.
How well, about?
I mean, I grew up in the US, but then I moved back.
And you moved back. Okay. So yeah. You know, when you live in, if you do live in the HDB flat or mezzanine or whatever, do you actually hear the house settling? Do you hear cracks and bumps as the house settles?
You know what happens? As many people actually, like, I keep hearing people say, like, oh, you know, the sound, like the marble sounds, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think I've heard the marble sounds before. I've never actually thought it was a marble sound. But I think for a while, I haven't actually heard, like, you know, like the foundation, like, crunching or, you know,
right.
Just like the content, like the cooling of the building. I've never actually heard that.
You've never, you know, okay. Yeah, I think it just might be the way that those buildings are built, because I suppose they're quite heavy. They're stacked.
Yeah.
You know, they probably have less opportunity. But in WA, where every house, a lot of houses in the suburbs, they're landed properties, right? You know, they're built with a combination of brick, plaster, and then like either kind of like aluminum in the roof or wood. We hear knockings on the wall from time to time, you know, but nothing that would go, oh my God, that's a ghost. I wonder what that is.
That would usually never be the first thing I jump to.
Nah. So chaos goes, Singapore is so hot. It's like 30 degrees at night. Not much cooling happening at night. Yeah. You know, exactly. I hear you. And the clerk says, you know, who still buys marbles? Sean goes, marbles are manifest. I think that what Matt's referring to is the phenomenon that a lot of people in HDB flats in Singapore report, and I actually do recall this living in Singapore, is the marbles kind of you know, dropping. But we've had conversations with Eugene about this. I still feel it's the movement of water through pipes and stuff like that. There's a lot of ghosts playing marbles in Singapore then, right?
Like, I mean, I don't actually think it's marbles. I think it's just, I don't know, cooling of the pipes or whatever. That's why I said it's a bit weird to have two skeptics on this show at the same time on Friday Night Live when we don't have someone else on the other team to kind of, you know, stand up for that side.
Yeah, because you're a bit of a skeptic yourself, aren't you, Matt?
I mean, I'm not a skeptic. I guess I'm more of a rationalist, you know.
Yes.
Okay. Like, there's better ways to explain a situation than, let's say, like the ghosts, you know. Not that I don't believe in ghosts or the supernatural, clearly.
Because you see it.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think everything is the ghost or the hantu in a sense.
I mean, speaking about your gifts, right? I got a question for you. So do you see it regularly? Like, you know, you're sitting here having a chat with me and suddenly like a chick in a boob tube just walks past you and goes into the wall. Is that what you see?
No, I mean, it's okay. So if I'm not wrong, I think the seven, I'm not too on track with this, but I think the 7 month just started a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I know that because usually around this time, that's when things start picking up. There's more that I see.
You know what I mean?
So even in the US, like, I think it was probably, I think sometime last week or something, that I just started seeing more like shadows, things that are walking by, like real quick, and I question, like, wait, what the hell is that? Like, what did I just see? Mm. And that usually is quite strange. And that's usually for me when I start picking up a lot more than I usually do.
Right. I'm wondering if you actually see things in conjunction with people's behavior. So let me explain, right? So if you see like a shadow walk behind someone, and then immediately when that happens, that person goes like, ugh, what was that? You know, like a physical corroboration of what you're seeing with your third eye.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
No, actually. I mean, I've actually never seen a corroboration like that before. Like, I think it's usually because the things that I see, I'm usually alone or just with someone else. And then it's just very quick. Like, you don't really notice it. But it's happened to me before. And I think if you check out my confession, I think I go into a lot of detail about the first few instances of when it happened or when it's opened, you know?
I love the stories about the a lot about the zoo, man. That is this that is just crazy. I've been through night safaris many times when I've come down to Singapore, and there's certain places I can't remember where they are, but where the hair just kind of stands on your
yeah. Night neck. I mean, honest to God, Mandai is one of the freakiest places at night. It is pitch black. It's the darkest place you're gonna find in Singapore.
Yeah, because it's right in the
Question.
bush, right?
Yeah, it's right in the bush and the reservoir. But I have a question, Joe. Do we have another confession?
We have one confession and also know your hantu.
All
We have it.
right.
And the last conf like I think what we'll do is we're going to play know your hantu first, and speak maybe a little bit about that, and then we're going to go into our last confession, which I think is, I don't know, I find it a little bit creepier
Okay.
than the
Then
last
the knocking
confession.
on. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
so I'm
Okay.
wondering, maybe that's a good time to actually segue into the know your
Yeah.
hantu. Elvin, if you're
Yeah.
hearing this, please take it away.
A small creepy doll that resembles a human ship, believed to be a being from the supernatural, takes Indonesia by storm when are being displayed as an exhibition item. This week, Know Your Hantu, we will talk about Jenglot. Long hair and nails, protruding fang on its face, give creeps to whoever looks at it. In 1997, Jenglot made its first appearance to the public, and the story that came with it was it is believed to be an ascetic that wanted to learn the ilmu Batara Karang, or the way to immortality. Due to the forbidden ability, the person's body could not be buried and the afterworld rejects its soul, hence it shrinks until it can fit onto a human's palm. Some believe that Jenglot is a hermit who worships demons and gains a specific power or ability. After meditation in a particular cave, the hermit will then become Jenglot. Keepers of Jenglot are required to feed their Jenglot blood from an animal like a goat or human blood. Reports say that keepers in Indonesia purchase blood from the Indonesian Red Cross. The person places the Jenglot near the blood, but it won't move to touch the blood. It is believed that Jenglot will get the nutrients from the blood in their own way. After making a public appearance, scholars' studies of it and unexplainable elements were found. Jenglot's hair was believed to be real human hair, and when they did an X-ray of the Jenglot, they also found needles in its body. Scientists did mention that hairs and needles can be implanted, and it is nothing more than a masterful work of a taxidermist fixing monkeys and fish. Despite that, many Indonesians still believe that this is one of the creatures of the thousands in the supernatural world.
That's
Wow.
interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, this Know Your Hantu is very fringy.
It is. It is. It reminds me of the stories of, the mermaids that were found in various islands around the world where people are said to have like physical remains of this. Now,
You
as a you're yes, Kiga.
as I think, I mean, if they've done x-rays and they see needles, I mean, it kind of makes sense, especially because they look so small. You know, you
Yep.
gotta keep it rigid one way or another. So,
That's right.
you know, I don't know, like it's kind of, it's a bit suspicious. It's creepy nonetheless. You know, I would never, if I saw this on the streets, hell no. I'm not gonna pick it up. I'm not gonna look. I'm probably gonna run.
Would you touch it? Like, would you stroke its
Hell
hair?
no. I've never stroke its hair, no, thank you. You know, if I see it, maybe I throw a leaf over it, like, nope, fuck that.
It's that kind of thing where when we look at it, you go, man, like my kid could probably create a better thing like that from like a plaster of Paris, or with like they could probably create a better looking doll. But at the same time, no, I do not want to touch it. I do not want to be around it.
I thought you were going in a completely different direction. I thought you said, you know, it's the kind of thing my kid might like take home. I'm like, oh fuck, man, like hell, like that's why I would never want to have a kid, man. Like, you know, can you imagine? Like, you let your kid go out and play, and then next thing you know, it's like, Dad, look what I found. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Where the fuck did you find that? What is wrong with you? Put it, I don't know what to do at that point.
Look, like, my daughter's born here, but I think I have traumatized her and my wife with the do's and don'ts about bringing shit into the home. So I think they both of them know, like, especially my daughter, and I think she said the same thing drilled into by my mom and dad. If you find something outside, that don't care if it's shiny, I don't care if it's X, Y, Z, you do not bring it home. And thank God she's just listened to that.
But yeah, I mean, this story is really, it's interesting because I think there's a lot of, I mean, especially once you go into the cryptids and stuff like the Murdoch monster, you know, there are a lot of people who, I guess, want to create something supernatural. I think maybe it's for the clout or the hype of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's kind of a thing to scare people away, right? But it's, you know, there's some things that always have this sort of undertone or like black magic undertone to it. So, I mean, look, taking a seat in Eugene's seat and Kim's seat, you know, it would be really weird that maybe this is a different version of like the, you know, like the Toyo or like the Kumantong for the people who know. You know, it's a bit weird to have something shriveled up like that. I mean, if you look into not the Native Americans, I can't remember where, maybe South America, where they keep the shrunken heads of the of their enemies.
Sure.
You know, it's like keeping something like that. Like, it's it may just be a war trophy, but I guess there's that underlying tone of there's something supernatural about it.
Yeah, it sounds to me very much as well the tale of the homunculi, where and the golem from, you know, Jewish kind of folklore and Jewish practice, where something is created out of the elements, put together, and then animated. But yeah, I get what you say about the Kumantong, right? Where it becomes a vessel for something that's really not of this world. Constantine Z, right? He says, and it's an interesting point. Okay, Matt, you talked about don't bring things at home, don't bring things from home, right? You've got a kid, so your kid brings a freaking doll with pins in its head, right? And goes, Daddy, look what I found. And you go, holy mo. Okay, then we go, you've invited the ghost into your house. So Constantine Z says, what if it's my pet who brings it home? Like, what
the? What? You know, that's why I don't let my cats out.
Imagine you go like, oh, you know what? Yeah, go and play, Toby. Go and play out in the thing. And then, you know, you take Toby home because Toby's following you behind. You don't look at Toby. You enter the house, and then Toby comes in before you hear a thunk, and you look down, and Toby's got like a human thigh bone. Have you inadvertently brought a spirit into your house?
You know, I think it depends how you look at it, right? Like, some objects have that that supernatural attachment to it. And I think, like, how I see a lot of things in the supernatural world, or actually just in the world in general, is a lot about intent and, like, why you're bringing it back, right? But especially in instances of black magic and stuff like that, sometimes it's not that they're, you know, they're targeting a specific person. You could just be that one sucker who picked it up, or, you know, it just so happened to be you're just that unlucky.
Yeah. And I get what you say about intent. I believe as well, like in the spiritual world, even in the, like, the world of ceremonial magic, the world of tantra, intention is the main element when it comes to inviting something into your life or engaging in certain practices.
I mean, it's the same reason why I think a lot of paranormal investigators, they like to provoke. I think there's that intent when maybe it works sometimes, but if you have that intent of, like, I think I've heard of a story of this guy going to the Warren's Museum, and then he was just cussing out the Annabelle doll, and turns out later he died in a motorcycle accident. But, you know, it's all about intent. you know, if you're there to actually do something or like insult the spirit or whatever, you know, something's going to happen. But if it's like 3-7 months and you accidentally step on the, I don't know, offerings or the incense or the ashes of the burnt paper, the hell notes, you know, if it's an accident, just say it's an accident, you know, like say, sorry, I stepped on it, you know, you didn't do it on purpose. And I think ghosts or paranormal like, or supernatural stuff, they're not going to haunt you just because you made it like an accident. Like you made, you know, I think it's fine.
Yeah, if you're an asshole and you just kind of like do moonwalk over a hell money, a double twirl and a, you know, a bow, that's a different story.
That's completely different. I think that's karma as well. Karma's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Oh my God. Gil Chong just on YouTube said, oh crap, just had a void outside. And he goes, oh, just a bird. Okay, that's weird. Hmm.
I think it's a bird.
He said it's a bird outside. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm wondering if people actually, and this is something that you might write in the comments, both YouTube and Facebook, whether when you listen to Supernatural Confessions, Friday Night Live, On the Fringe, or Ghost Mortem, have you noticed things happening around you? I think that would be a very, very interesting thing to explore, whether, you know, as we're telling ghost stories, you're actually having activity happen around you.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I mean, I know your background. You work a lot with psychotherapy and a lot of neurological stuff, and that was my minor in university. I actually focused on neuroscience, so it would be interesting to see, like, especially because we're setting the mood, telling the stories. Do people tend to experience it a little bit more when they're watching the show? Yeah. You know, you're setting the mood.
Yeah, you're priming like people priming to actually.
Yeah, you're priming it. There you go.
yeah, very much so. You know, like, you know, we're standing here, we turn the lights low, and we speak in a deeper voice, and, you know, we kind of like do a little bit of your eyeballs to the left and eyeballs to the right. Yeah, it builds the atmosphere.
Yeah.
We love telling stories like that. But the reason why I ask, right? So this is a funny thing. Before we go on to the next confession, like last week. Last week when I came on, my camera battery was completely charged, right? Not only was it charged, it was also plugged in. So fully charged and plugged into power. It kind of died halfway through. I have no reason. It's working fine tonight, same amount of charge. The next day, my new MacBook that I've had for like 4 months, 2022 MacBook Pro, bricked, died for no reason whatsoever. Could not charge, could not turn on.
What the hell?
The same day, my iPad, when I was holding it, drained like 10% in like 3 minutes. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. And on the same day, my power bank, same thing. Just dropped in. I have no explanation for that. I don't know.
Huh.
So I'm interested.
It could be the start of the 7 months.
Well, people are saying it's an international thing. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm drawing energy. Maybe it's just the call doing it. Correct. Saravanan Dena Dayalan has come up with the likely explanation for this. JDC, you are just electrifying. Thank you very much. KS is just saying, oh dear, JDC is a spirit attachment. I hope not. I hope not. I hope not.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's, however, he's the
Look, guys, it is now, what time is it? 11:08. Geez, time goes by very quickly. We have the last confession of the night. And geez, like right now I'm not prepared. So it is basically a story by Chris about cars and a heavy load. Take it away.
Okay.
I'd like to acknowledge this submission from Chris Redfield. The story was written based on my own experience and memory. A while back, my friends and I met up to go for paranormal investigation in Lim Chu Kang Cemetery at around 12 midnight. It was mainly just getting around in the car, stopping to walk around, look around and take some photos. Nothing too crazy. It was an impromptu meetup after all. We did not have any fancy gadgets like the K2 meter. Neither did we bring any FLIR equipment, which FLIR stands for Forward-Looking Infrared. We drove into the pitch darkness. There were four of us. Our first stop was a Muslim cemetery after driving along the long stretch of road. We got out of the car, explored around a little bit and looked at some graves, and got back into the car and drove. It moved on to the next one. Pretty much the same thing reenacted. So at about 3 a.m. or thereabouts, we decided to leave and head for Bukit Brown Cemetery. We could only find a really narrow entrance by the highway, which we did not fancy to put the car to the test. So we went home instead. As we were driving back to our homes, I noticed the car pickup speed was really slow. It was a modified Civic, so I don't have to go into details here. I looked at the driver and asked, "Bro, why aren't you stepping on it?" He replied, "I am stepping on it really hard." "Nah, don't mess with us, haha. We all know that you like to go fast and furious," I said. We were looking at each other as I said the car felt much heavier than usual. If I remembered correctly, the suspension was somewhat compressed, like as if we stacked bodies or something onto the roof. Even though there were four of us, there was no way the suspension could have been pressed that much during traveling. Everyone agreed that the car felt heavier than usual. The fuel tank was almost full, and the car didn't have any other stuffs other than the four of us. After some time driving on the highway, we got off the car and went to our homes. It was still before daybreak. So our driver dropped us off at one of our places. For privacy and security reason, we will not disclose where or whose. Everyone was still feeling kind of hyped up, so we just chilled for a little bit and discussed about what had happened. We agreed that the car felt heavier than usual. Prior to entering the cemetery, the car felt much lighter and faster. Right after some chatting, our driver drove off and everyone booked a ride home. Now, here's the part that was freaky. I'm not sure if this was 100% legit, but apparently, the driver got possessed. Some religious leaders were called in, like a priest or someone else, to cast the spirits out. The next day, we were informed about what had happened, of him getting possessed. So we were told that there were a few ghosts that were Muslim and a few ghosts that were Chinese that were in or above the car we were riding in. Hence the heaviness feeling of the car and the suspension being somewhat low. If you're wondering if anything had happened to me, nothing. I just went on with my day as usual. Did anything like bad luck or sickness happen to me or anyone else? No. Any damages to the roof of the car or in the car? No.
Right.
That's an interesting story.
What did you find compelling about it?
I mean, you know, in the beginning, I was thinking like you know, maybe it was the car. It was like, you know, sometimes when you're driving a car or actually anything, if you have been driving, you let it warmed up, right? Like it will run fine.
Yeah.
But if you like stop and maybe you leave it alone for too long, it's getting, the engine's cold, you know, the fluids are cold, then it'll start to feel a little, you know, choppy, a bit slow, like not
sluggish.
A bit sluggish, right? So that's what I thought initially. But when he said that the driver was possessed, and I was like, okay, that's a bit of a weird turn.
And it's interesting, like, again, like I was the same mind as you. I found it a little bit creepy because on the face of it, you could explain away and exactly when down that road, right? When I used to have an old car, you know, I think it had issues with the vacuum pump in the car, and the car would move and rev, but go slowly, like it was struggling, because it was, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you have an older car. But he did mention not only about the possession thing, but apparently the suspension was kind of lowered, right? Which would suggest that there was a lot more people in there.
Yeah, that's also, that was something that I was thinking, because I mean, I'm pretty familiar with at least like the Lim Chu Kang area, because I mean, I have a grandparent that's this is in one of the cemeteries, okay. And the area is pretty. I mean, it's as modern as it's gonna get. I mean, there's asphalt roads. It's not like you have to go through mud or anything. So I was thinking when it came to the suspension, I was thinking, you know, maybe it could just been unlucky, you know, like hit like mud or it's been sitting in the mud for a bit, or maybe it was a wet day or something. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, actually, like there's not many places to feel very bogged down there.
Yeah, yeah. And even if it was bogged down, it wouldn't do anything to the suspension.
Even yeah.
Like, I know next to nothing about cars. I'm not a car person, but yeah. I can imagine that, you know, when one person gets into the car lowers a bit. You have more people in the car goes lower a bit. And you're very exactly. right. Like, this seems almost like a updated, more modern version of the old Pontiana riding the bicycle, the man riding the bicycle yeah. through the cemetery, yeah. right? Because the old story goes, and I think yourself and the SE family, you know, the old guy is Pachi is riding through the cemetery, right? And he rides and he sees the woman sitting atop the tree, and she's like, and he goes, yeah, no, lady, I'm not stopping for you. And he goes straight. But as he's doing that, he smells frangipani, and suddenly he's pedaling a little bit more hard because it feels like there's something, like the bike is the bicycle's heavier, and it's pedaling, and it feels even more heavy, and then he feels like a pair of arms go around his waist, right? And he goes, holy shit, the Pontiana sitting at the back of the bike. But this is like,
this is it's the same story almost.
It's the same story for modern audiences, right? It's not Apache. Yeah. It is someone, you know, riding through the cemetery. Or maybe it's just a kernel of truth. Maybe it's a whole group of Pontianats sitting in the backseat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting that, I mean, when they went to see the spiritual practitioner, that they said it wasn't just like a Muslim ghost, right? It was also a Chinese ghost sitting inside. And I mean, if you think about it, it maybe the driver was the one who, let's say, had the most of it, got the most of it. It's because everybody else left him, you know, he was left alone. And I mean, if you know, if you lived in Singapore, the area, you know that when people say, when you go out at night, you know, you got to travel in even numbers. Because if you were to leave yourself with maybe three, like an odd number, something else is going to follow you, right? So once you dropped everybody off, yo, there was a boatload of ghosts anyway. Once everybody else left, yo, the driver's just alone. He's like, oh shit, you know, I'm going to get it. Maybe that's what happened.
That sounds like an OCD ghost. The ghost needs to have an even number. Like, it can't have an odd number. It's like, no, I don't. Like, that won't do. You have to.
No, there's an odd number. No, I gotta go with them. I can't. I'll find my way back to Lim Chu Kang or Bukit Brown. No. I can't do this right now.
Yep. An OCD ghost. What I'm also wondering about, right? You know, the author talked about how the driver was possessed. Okay. I'm wondering as to maybe what the driver was carrying. You know, was the driver, because you know what, I've gone through cemeteries, dude. Like I've gone through cemeteries in the middle of the night. I've taken equipment down there. I find cemeteries very, very restful places. I've never had anything follow me. But what I do know is that with people who carry things, certain kind of objects, you know, of a spiritual nature. Like I'm thinking like amulets, kwantong, or you know, like you know, susuks and stuff like that. And especially if it has a bit of a darker element to it, that entities tend to get drawn.
Yeah, like a magnetized.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm wondering if this is what's happened to the, you know, but why out of all the entire people who were there was the driver possessed?
You know, I'm gonna take a kind of a weird turn, just because I think, like, I'm assuming this is probably like when they were a bit younger, right? And I'm thinking, you know, back then I've heard people who went to like Old Changi Hospital, all these kind of places in Singapore, and you know, I don't think that the intention was always good. I mean, I wouldn't say good, like they're just going to explore, right? But I think there's sometimes there are people who are skeptics and they really push the button. Like maybe they're just going there to wreak havoc. And, you know, I think, again, it comes down to the intention of why you're there, right? Like if you're just going there to, you know, fuck around, then you're asking for trouble. I mean, I don't know if this is actually what happened. And maybe he could have just been the unlucky one. But, you know, if someone who goes to these kind of places and you're not in the right mindset, or you're just thinking like, ah, fuck it. And, you know, these things tend to happen, right? I've heard stories of these kind of people getting attached to, or, you know, all kinds of weird stuff happening to them.
Again, the word intention comes out, right? It is such an important approach in the supernatural world that intentions everything. You know, step on a paper money, that's fine. Apologize for cough. Do you moonwalk and a bow? You're fucked. You
So I
know?
mean, I think there's a lot of gaps in terms of what actually went down in those cemeteries that maybe the confessor could maybe give us a little more background, because I think that would help in kind of debunking the situation or kind of seeing what might have actually happened.
Yeah, and I would like to know a lot more about the person who was actually possessed and that person who was driving, whether there's a backstory in it and what happened to him after that, you know, because these things tend to mirror. And like I've said before, I don't buy too much the walking to somewhere and then suddenly getting possessed. That I personally, I think that doesn't happen, like with what you said, intention. And I think that for someone to get possessed like that, there has to be an invitation somehow.
Yeah, there must have been something that went down. You know, you can't, let's say you can walk through the most haunted place on earth, but if you're just passing through, you know, if nothing's going to happen. I would say most of the time nothing happens. But if your intention is you're going to that place and you're gonna just mess around and you're like call out the ghost and be like, oh, you know, come haunt me, like I'm not afraid of you. You know, that's when something's probably gonna happen. Like I would never do that. If I ever went on a paranormal like investigation, that I'll be the last person to do that. I would never try to do that shit.
Yeah, you just got to be really, really careful. And you know, I get what you say about a lot of people that go to, you know, places like like ghost hunters that go into the warrens and go, you know what, screw you, Annabelle, or like, you know, I don't believe you have, and then they get stuff happen to them. And I think it's because, again, when you interact that way, you are inadvertently welcoming something into your life. Same with Ouija boards, you know, we are boards a little bit where. I mean, to tell you the truth, it's a bit of plastic and paper, cardboard and wood. There's nothing to it. You know, that it's not inherently evil. Where the
I mean,
problem is,
Isn't it made by
Warner Bros.
that?
Yeah,
It
Hasbro. Yeah, no, I was gonna say Warner Brothers. That's the movie. Yeah,
Hasbro.
correct, Hasbro.
It's a toy. It's a toy. I mean, you could make your own. You could legit write up ABCD all the way to Z on a piece of paper and use something else, like maybe a shot glass or a coin. It's the same premise, but
Yeah,
it's just
don't
what
do it
you're
though.
trying to do.
Don't do
Oh yeah, please
it.
don't do it. I
Don't
mean, if you do it, take a video because that'd be interesting to see. But don't do it.
That's funny.
You know, it's you could do it with anything, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the whole point, that when you take your hands and you place it in the planchette and you gather with your mates and you reach out to the spirit world, that's the problem there. It's not the board. If you pick up the telephone and you call a drug dealer, the telephone's not the problem. The problem is that you've reached out to someone that you shouldn't be reaching out to, right? And you don't know who's on the other line.
The funny thing, yeah, exactly. And I think that's something that in my confession, like I actually mentioned when I first opened my third eye, right? See, the person that let's say my teacher, right? She was basically telling me that, you know, there is a way that you can basically tune in to like the spirits in a sense where you can actually hear what they're saying. Like it's kind of like a translator where it translates to English. But do you really want to do that? Because if you do that, you know, the things that you're looking for isn't always going to be like the good stuff. You know, it isn't always going to be from the light. You never know what's coming in on the other end. And once you open that sort of that Pandora's box, right, that's when the problem's going to happen because you don't know what's coming in. It could be a demon. It could be something like malevolent that's going to come in and stay with you forever. So I'm just going to put out there. I mean, I'm not on this show a lot, but those people who are looking to get into these kind of like opening your third eye, all this kind of stuff, right? You need to tread very carefully, because it may sound like it's a, you know, like it's a cool party trick, but there's a lot more things that go into it rather than just, oh, you know, I can see ghosts now. No, you're seeing things that may not always be of the light, in a sense. Mm. And that can actually lead to a lot more problems down the line than you would want. Yeah.
It's also based on, I think, on the people's desires, right?
Yeah.
You want to see a ghost for what reason?
Exactly.
What legitimate reason do you want to see and hear a ghost? And I think if we dig deeper, and here's the psychologist in me, and you look deeper, I think people want to feel special.
Right.
People want to feel like they have an ability that is perhaps not common. And there's a real sense of like, you know, and I understand, but you know, with certain like spiritual practices, psychic powers, for want of a better term, they do flower naturally from mm-hmm. certain practices. But the majority of these practices will say, if things happen while you're in the midst of meditation, or you know, engaging in mindfulness practice, or doing your spiritual kind of work, ignore it. If you know, like it's not something to be sought, because it ties you further down into the realm of desire, when what you want to do is to elevate.
Correct.
You know, so I get what you say, man. You just got to be really, really careful, because for these things, no matter what people say, once it's open, invariably it cannot be fully closed. It's going to stay open, you know?
And that's why I always say, like, people, you should never go and, like, I would personally never go and play with a Ouija board or like try to contact the spirit, right? Yeah. I'd never do that, because, you know, you're opening Pandora's box. And there's enough videos out there on YouTube nowadays that you can find someone stupid enough doing it anyway. So just go and watch that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you can question whether it's real or not, but you know, it's the same thing. You're putting yourself much less at risk than something permanently attaching to you. Just go and watch some other stupid people do. It's fine.
Exactly. Let them do the hard work. You just watch.
Exactly, dude. That's exactly how it should be.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. It's almost that freaking time of the night. We've been having a chat for about an hour and a half. It's crazy how time flies by so quickly. You know, before we go, you know, further and maybe, you know, kind of say our goodbyes, I want to say thank you to the bunch of SC family who have, you know, bought us a coffee. You know, hats off to KS, Shamla Poochies, and Melvin for your coffees. They will go well to ensuring that Matt stays awake throughout this morning. And, you know, it gives me Milo money, so I can go and have a nice hot cup of Milo before I go to sleep. But, you know, thank you guys for kind of supporting us in that way. How's tonight's session been for you, Matt?
Dude, I mean, I think it's really different from how I would run. I mean, how I guess Bill and I run on the fringe. It's similar, but it's not. You know, we don't really go into much of the supernatural stuff, like the ghosts, the spirits, all this kind of stuff. I think it's nice. I mean, it's a good change of event, you know. Maybe you'll come on the show some other time. You know, it's quite likely that might happen.
yeah, definitely, man. I'm happy to come on and have a chat with you guys. It'll be fun to do like a threesome.
Okay, I mean,
yes. Well, technically it is a threesome, right? Like we're just coupling it right now. If kind of Bill was here, it'd be a threesome. You know, if the rest of the SC people were here, it'd be like a, like, let's not go down that path. That's a dark path.
You know, I think an interesting person to have on this show as well is Bill, because Bill is not, he's a very different change of opinion, because, you know, he's more of on the conspiracy side of things. Even supernatural stuff, he's never really had any experiences. So he's kind of fresh. So it would be interesting to see him on the show as well.
Ooh, I like that term. He's fresh. Yeah. Time to pop that supernatural cherry. I love that. That's brilliant. But you know what? I don't know. Do you want to say your goodbyes, Matt? It's that time of the night.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. This has been a special day that I've come on to Friday Night Live since starting on The Fringe. You can catch more of me and Bill on The Fringe on Wednesday's night. Probably the next one will be next week. We had a little incident yesterday, so we couldn't. I mean, on Wednesday, so you can catch us there. If you'd like to see more of us, you know, let them know. We can come on to Friday night shows. Joe, Kim, and I, and Elvin also. We've been working on trying to push out Hunted. So
yeah,
you know, let us know what you want. We've been there. So again,
very soon.
Yeah, very soon. I don't have a one-liner because this ain't on The Fringe and I don't have anything that's good. But, you know, thanks for watching, you guys, and I'll catch you guys on The Fringe. There you go.
There you go. Thank you very much, Matt, for kind of being here today and allowing the show to kind of still go ahead despite, you know, some of our kind of hosts taking a break. But thank you to the SC fans for everything, for being here with us, for listening to us just talk shit and talk ghosts. It's been really wonderful. We have our kind of like premiere tonight. Ghost Marriages Still Exist Today. It's starting in a couple of minutes, actually 1 minute. So take your time to go there. And not to forget that Eugene and Jonathan will be running their ghost walk coming soon. So go on the SC page and find out. My name is Jody Cotter, and I say there are always more questions than answers. Thanks, guys, for following us tonight. Be well.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.